Did you know that Jesus was Jewish? You might be asking, what does that mean for your Christian faith?
Watch today and discover how understanding the Jewish roots of your faith and your connection to Israel and the Jewish people
can transform your life and the way you read the Bible. Coming up on Jewish Voice. Shalom and welcome to Jewish Voice. Thank you for joining me today. I'm Jonathan Burness, and I'm joined once again by my co-host, Ezra Benjamin. We know that many of you care about Israel and the Jewish people, but we've seen a worldwide rise in anti-Semitism, especially following October 7th in Israel's war against Hamas. And even amongst Bible-believing Christians like you, there's confusion on the underlying issues that have led to this war. Is Israel to blame? What is the truth? Today, Rabbi Jack Zimmerman, our staff evangelist here at Jewish Voice, has returned to help us to cut through the lies and misinformation that spread on media outlets around the world about the war in Israel.
Thanks.
Jack, let's continue just sorting through fact and fiction about the war.
We know the saying, tell a lie often enough, and obviously people will start to believe that it's true. But repetition does not equal truth. And there's a lot of confusion out there because you hear one thing on the media, but then there's something else called reality. And really, that's why I'm so blessed to have the opportunity to cut through what we're hearing and look not only, of course, at what the Bible says about it as believers, but what does history say about it? What does reality say about it? Can we look at these accusations brought about by, whether it's Palestinian Islamic Jihad, the Houthis, Hamas, Hezbollah, and say, wait a minute, time out. Reality says exactly the opposite. And why are so many people accepting it as if it is gospel? And so I'm excited to be able to talk about that today.
Apartheid. Wow.
Yeah.
Israel's engaging in apartheid. We're hearing that all over the world. College campuses. This has been going on. This is not new. Mm-hmm. College professors on most college campuses has been teaching these poor students, poor parents, actually, are the ones paying the $70,000 a year that Israel is guilty of apartheid.
And there's one picture that I'm, since I was a kid, when you hear Israel's guilty of apartheid, there's one photo that continues to show up, different versions of the same image, a giant concrete wall with Palestinians trapped on one side and Israel living a good life on the other.
There we go.
Talk about that.
The vast majority of people who accuse Israel of apartheid have no idea what the word apartheid means. Look, let's just call this what it is. This is why when a college professor at Berkeley says, you know what, I'm gonna do a study, I'm gonna do a survey, and I'm gonna ask 250 students, pro-Palestinian students, when they say from the river to the sea, what river or sea are they talking about? And the vast majority of them don't know. And they don't care to know. Why is this so important? And I've got to share this with you because it just really speaks to the fact that people are doing things and saying things that they have no idea what they're talking about. But so let me give you the definition of apartheid so that we can first start there. Proper definition of apartheid. Apartheid is a policy or a system of segregation or discrimination against someone on the grounds of race, color, creed, culture, natural origin, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. You want to talk about apartheid, look at South Africa 40, 50 years ago, which that's apartheid, which to me is crazy because Cyril Ramaphosa, the president of South Africa, who should know better of what apartheid is, and he's accusing Israel of apartheid. Apartheid.
That's always the connection, right?
Of course.
South Africa.
South Africa
of old.
Right, but you know what? It's a connection from the enemy. Always accuse someone else of what you yourself are guilty of. But Ezra, you alluded to this before, and you're right. 1.7 million who identify as Palestinians living in Israel, that represents 20% of Israel's population.
Right.
And in accordance with the Declaration of Independence, these Palestinians enjoy the same exact rights as Jewish citizens do.
Right.
Guaranteed, 1948, they're the only free Arabs in the Middle East. They serve in Israel, listen to this, as mayors, army officers, police commanders, members of parliament, and this next one is a big one. Israel currently has a Supreme Court justice, and they love him. In fact, they love Khaled Kabbouf so much, they say, listen, take a guess how long your term is, until you die. We want you in here. So, Palestinians on the Supreme Court. We mentioned before, we alluded to Israel's Knesset, 120 members. 10 of them identify as Arab Palestinian. How is any of this apartheid? How can it be? This is just simply another lie that is manufactured to churn the waters, and it means absolutely nothing.
Yeah. When I talk to Palestinians in places like Bethlehem, Jericho, secretly, to a person, they preferred life under the Israeli government.
You bet.
Every single one that I've spoken to, they had a better life.
And Jonathan, I'm not surprised, because it was about 10 or 15 years ago, Harvard University actually did a study where they said, you know what, let's talk to Palestinians who live in Israel and ask them if they'd rather live in Israel than their Arab country of origin. Let's say it's Jordan. And so they did the survey. They said, would you rather live in Israel than one of your own Arab countries? 4 out of 5, 80% of them said, look, Harvard, not only would we rather live in Israel than our own Arab country of origin, we'd rather live in Israel than any other country on the face of the earth. We love it here. There's peace here. This is a wonderful land. Everybody's friendly with one another. The $2 an hour they would have given me to work in Jenin, in Samaria, I do the same job here. I get $20 an hour.
Sure. Jack, getting back to apartheid, you can't deny it. There's walls all over Israel. We've seen the horrible pictures.
Yep.
Looking like the Palestinians are walled off, they're segregated, they're in ghettos. That's the impression that the world's getting. Checkpoints, that looks like apartheid. Why the walls?
This is a major objection from people who say that Israel is trying to keep Palestinians in an open-air prison, won't let them in from the Gaza Strip, won't let them in from Judea and Samaria. And to a fault, I honestly believe that the people who are saying this have never been to Israel.
Or never lived in Israel.
Right, right. I mean, the proliferation of armchair quarterbacks over the past 10 months has been astounding. Because if you go to Israel, you see something very, very interesting. Are there checkpoints in Israel keeping Palestinians out? Absolutely. But if you were to look at those checkpoints, what a lot of folks don't know is at those checkpoints, more than 350,000 Palestinians go in and out of those checkpoints every single week. Israel has no problem letting them in. In fact, when they come in for one of three reasons. They're coming in because many of them live, obviously, in the outside territories, but they come into Israel to work. If they don't come into Israel to work and they're not coming for that, others come because they want to go to the Temple Mount and pray. Still other Palestinians come in because they say, I am in dire need of medical care, and I know that Israel has the best medical care. So they come in for those three reasons, and Israel has absolutely no problem letting Palestinians in. You also have Palestinians who want to come in. They don't come in to work. They don't want to pray. They don't need medical care. They come in as terrorists and kill innocent people. And those innocent people, by the way, remember, we said that 20% of Israel's population is Palestinian. So you're coming in, you're not only killing innocent Israelis, but you got a 1 in 5 chance of murdering one of your own. Those are the people that Israel wants to keep out. That's why you've got to build the walls and the checkpoints in the first place.
What they don't show now is a bus that's been blown up. They used to say suicide bombers. They're not suicide bombers. They're homicidal bombers.
That's right.
And you see bus blown up, hundreds of Israelis killed in a nightclub. They had to build the walls.
Yes.
They have to have checkpoints. That's the sad reality.
And since they built the walls and the checkpoints, guess what? You've got the best of both worlds. You have good Palestinians coming in and out, and the Palestinian terrorists who used to get in each and every day in droves when the walls and checkpoints were not up, now more of them are being kept out, and that's why you don't have such instances as you did 15, 20 years ago.
To respond to anti-Semitism and pro-Palestinian protesters, you'll need wisdom and discernment. Jonathan's authoritative commentary, A Lasting Peace, a historical, biblical, and prophetic lens on the crisis in the Middle East, will equip you to speak with confidence on the complex issues unfolding in Israel and God's plan for lasting peace. And don't miss Dr. Michael Brown's landmark book, Our Hands Are Stained with Blood, which documents the shocking horrors committed against the Jewish people and how we must move forward from here. Write, call, or go online today. Make a gift of $40 or more, and we will send you both of these books offering perspectives you won't read in the media. The Increasing Untruths Regarding Israel, Pressure from Hate Groups, and the Opportunity to Bring Hope and Healing in Israel inspire us to recruit new Shalom Partners. To welcome new Shalom Partners and say thank you for your monthly commitment of $30 per month or more, we will send you both books and the exclusive Peace Blessing Afghan. Woven into this attractive throw blanket is the Jewish Voice logo and the beloved verse from Psalm 122. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. 100% of your investment as a monthly Shalom Partner will directly activate life-saving relief efforts in Israel and around the world. Thank you for joining thousands of other faithful believers advancing God's plan of restoration of the Jewish people and redemption of the world. Call today or mail your most generous gift to the address on the screen. If you prefer, you can give securely online at jewishvoice.tv or scan the QR code. In this spiritual battle, your gift is making a difference. Is Israel the bully? Prepare to give a defense about the lies the enemy has said and planned about Israel.
This has everything to do with what is going on biblically.
Join us for the discussion at jewishvoice.tv/IsraelFacts.
The walls are a necessary but unfortunate, tragic in some cases, because family members, Palestinian family members, one is separated from the other, but it's to protect and preserve innocent life. And speaking of the suicide bombers, which is one of the main reasons the walls went up in the first place, since October 7th, they're not called bombers anymore. They're called resistors.
Right.
Right? And this just feeds in, right? They tell the same narrative long enough and loud enough, and eventually the world believes you. And it's amazing to see this eruption now a year on since October 7th, this eruption of free Palestine, pro-Palestine, from the river to the sea, death to the Jews, get out of our land, Jews, all over the world, not just in the Middle East, in the major cities of the world, in college campuses.
Yes.
I mean, people aren't stupid, Rabbi Jack, right?
Sure.
And we're talking about this. I'm getting upset because I'm going, if these are the facts, why are they not being proclaimed?
Sure. And a lot of this is answered spiritually. Where is it coming from and what is the root of all this? Because as we said earlier, this did not start on October 6 or 7 of 2023. And it didn't start on June the 4th of 1967 in the Six-Day War. And it didn't start on May the 14th of 1948. And no, it didn't even start during the Bar Kokhba Rebellion of 132. This goes back thousands and thousands of years to Genesis chapter 3:15. I learned this from a very reputable source, I want you to know. But in Genesis 3:15, let me read the verse to you, and then I'll pull it apart. I'll break it down. It says this, "And I will put hostility or tension or enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. He shall fatally bruise your head and you shall only bruise his heel." So, you want to know why this is all going on, Israel, Hamas, why the Jews are hated, why Israel is hated? Well, there you go. Got it? No, you don't. Because I need to unpack it, because in the language that it's written, it's hard to decipher here. We need context. So, who's speaking? The Lord our God. Where? Garden of Eden. What's going on? The serpent has just tempted Eve with the forbidden fruit. She's eaten it. She's going to bring it to Adam, and sin is introduced into the world, and God is not happy. And so God puts the serpent on notice and basically said, you know what you just did? You just started a war. Oh, it's not going to come for a long, long time, but there will be a war. And here's what's going to happen. The one who follows you, let's just call him Satan, is going to be involved in a war with the seed of a woman. Okay, time out. That's weird.
Yeah.
Because biblically, it's the man who has the seed. The only way a woman can have the seed is if she's, get this, imagine this concept, a woman who gives birth to a child without the aid of a man. Imagine that. You've got, what is that? We all know what that is. This is the earliest prophecy of the virgin birth in Scripture, predates what we read in Matthew, predates what we read in Isaiah 7:14. So thousands of years ago, the enemy was put on notice that the seed of the woman, the product of the virgin birth, Jesus, Yeshua, would be the one to come after him and destroy him. And who is Yeshua? King of Israel, King of the Jews, therefore sure did surprise anyone that the world, even when reality speaks otherwise, even when you got the facts on paper, that the world has a vested interest, allowing itself to be twisted by the mind of the devil, to have a vested interest in going after the people of Jesus's line and trying to destroy the very land where Jesus, Yeshua, is supposed to come back to before he brings about the ultimate destruction of Satan.
It's a bigger war than the war in the Middle East.
It is. This
part of
war,
a bigger war.
You know what we're
cosmic
seeing,
war.
Yeah. What we saw in October of 2023 is just the latest installment of something that the scripture spoke about some 5,000 plus years ago. Yeah.
And when you see things that over and over are not rational, that you can't explain. Like we said, people aren't stupid. How can you disregard these facts and camp on these ones over here? You have to ask the question, if it's not rational, is it spiritual?
Yeah.
And that's exactly what it is.
And you have empowered by the Spirit, the wind at their back, the propaganda machine. Again, tell the same lie enough and people believe.
So, Jack, the protests around the world, and I think I'm going to ask you two questions. Tell us about your experience seeing these protests. What's some of the language? What's, you know, as you've encountered these protesters, in some cases face to face, what's your experience? And then secondly, just kind of to wrap up a very complex conversation, what should Christians do now, right? The issues are complex. There's the onslaught of media, depending on which channel you watch.
Right.
What should followers of Jesus who understand, I'm supposed to stand with Israel, it's gotten really hard to keep doing that, or maybe some have decided, I can't stand with Israel anymore. Speak to them.
Great questions to finish it off. And regarding experiences with protesters, the first thing that comes to mind is, I don't know if you're familiar with the columnist, his name is Douglas Murray. But Douglas Murray was talking about really everything that we've been discussing and how right is wrong, wrong is right, dark is light, light is dark. And he essentially said, and I'm paraphrasing here, he said, you know that things have gone totally out of order when on October 7th, scores of Israeli women are raped and the world says nothing. Yet a month and a half, 2 months later, 100 Hamas militants are stripped to their underwear to see if they have guns, and the world goes berserk. And it's so poignant, and I think that speaks to it. That's the world that we're living in today, and this is what the Hamas, supposedly pro-Palestinian, and look, they're not pro-Palestinian, let's call them who they are, they're anti-Semites. Mm-hmm. Because guess what? If we know that Hamas is abusing its own Palestinian civilians, we know that, and you say that you are out there protesting for the rights of Palestinian civilians, and yet at the same time, you're wearing a Hamas headband, I'm sorry, what's wrong with you? You're obviously not understanding this. But the second one is let me call this a note of levity, about 11, 12 years ago, I was asked by the state of Montana to come up and speak at their governor's prayer breakfast. They were having an event celebrating Israel, Stand by Israel, Genesis 12, 3, et cetera. And so I came up on a beautiful Saturday morning in Helena, Montana, on the gorgeous campus of Carroll College. And it's held in the auditorium. We had about, I don't know, 1,500, 2,000 dignitaries from all across the state. It was about an hour before I was supposed to speak. And it's an honor just to be in the company of all these folks who are so supportive of Israel. And I had a woman representative come over to me and she said, Rabbi Jack, she said, I just want to let you know, she said, we're so glad you're here. She said, but there are protesters outside. And you know, the first thought that came to my mind was, in Montana? This is Montana, what do you mean a protesters? What are you people protesting? Hey, Bales, this is Montana. And so I thought about this for a while.
We love Montana.
You know, Montana. And I said, you know what? I am going to go out there and I'm going to confront this group of protesters. She got all worried. She said, no, no, no. Please don't do that. We don't want anything to happen to you. And I said to her these exact words. I said, it's okay. I'm from New York. So that's exactly what I said.
They don't know what they're dealing with.
Montana,
they
come
don't have
on.
A chance.
Look, I've ridden the subways. You've ridden cows. You don't stand a chance. So I start walking out of the building and I said, you know what? And I took my cell phone out of my pocket and I said, I'm going to take a photo of this group of protesters and send this photo back to my wife, Sandy, so that she could see that her husband, the father of Jordan and Ryan and Casey, took on this massive group of protesters. And I saved the photo, so I want you all to see this group of protesters that I encountered in that violent state of Montana. Here it is, count of three. One, two, three. There you go. There it is. You know, I don't mind when God teaches me a lesson in humility, but did it have to be in Helena, Montana? So I'm standing out there and I'm looking at these two people and I see that they're both holding up signs. But before I read the signs, this thought occurs to me because I said, you know I've never seen them before, but there's something about them that looks familiar. And I couldn't put my finger on it. And I said, there you go. It's them. It's them. It's the same couple. I mean, look, you know, the woman protester, she's holding up a sign that says Free Palestine. You know, in this photo, they're holding up the pitchfork. Same thing. Then I look at the guy and I see he's holding up a sign that says Christ is peace. I said, I just want to let you know, I love your sign. He said, why, thank you so much. I said, oh, you're so welcome. It's like, right, violent protesters. The guy and I are ready to do high tea. All right. And then I said to the woman, she's holding up a sign that says Free Palestine. And I said, I don't like your sign as much as I like his. I said, can I ask you a few questions? She said, sure. I said, why are you holding up that sign? And she came up with the same false claims that all of us have been hearing, because this has been going on for years. It's a regurgitation.
Yeah, she didn't know better, right?
She didn't know.
She's a very sweet lady, I can see.
Right. Genocide, apartheid, you know, the whole nine yards. And I said, okay, can I ask you a few more questions? And she said, sure. I said, what was the Balfour Declaration of 1917? She said, I don't know. All right. What was the UN Partition Plan of 1947? I don't know. What happened in the Gaza Strip in 2005? I don't know. Who was Zahir Hussein? I don't know. What percentage of Israel's population identifies as Palestinian? I don't know. Every single question I asked her, she said, I don't know. And I said, okay, then I have one more question. Then what are you doing holding up that sign? Doesn't it bother you in the least that you are holding up a sign and obviously taking a position on a cause that you, through your answers, just admitted to me you don't know anything about? That doesn't bother you at all? And it's a stunned silence. I said, you know what I know? What I know is if you would do your research, and if you would look at history and look at the facts, and by the way, the Bible is an awfully good place to look. You might want to do that first. And I promise you, if you do that with open eyes and honesty and throw away your preconceived notions, you will never come anywhere holding up a sign like that ever again. They don't know what they don't know.
Wow. Well, we call ourselves believers. You call yourself a Christian, a believer. It means we believe in the living God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we believe that his word is not just suggestions. That's our worldview. Our worldview should be based on the word of God.
That's right.
And that's why we're sharing this truth with you. The truth will set you free. We hope we've given you a biblical worldview, a biblical understanding of truth concerning Israel and the Middle East crisis. And your job is to pray. Your job is to proclaim. Your job is to align with the word of God.
To respond to anti-Semitism and pro-Palestinian protesters, you'll need wisdom and discernment. Jonathan's authoritative commentary, A Lasting Peace, a historical, biblical, and prophetic lens on the crisis in the Middle East, will equip you to speak with confidence on the complex issues unfolding in Israel and God's plan for lasting peace. And don't miss Dr. Michael Brown's landmark book, Our Hands Are Stained with Blood, which documents the shocking horrors committed against the Jewish people and how we must move forward from here. Write, call, or go online today. Make a gift of $40 or more, and we will send you both of these books offering perspectives you won't read in the media. The Increasing Untruths Regarding Israel, Pressure from Hate Groups, and the Opportunity to Bring Hope and Healing in Israel inspire us to recruit new Shalom partners. To welcome new Shalom partners and say thank you for your monthly commitment of $30 per month or more, we will send you both books and the exclusive Peace Blessing Afghan. Woven into this attractive throw blanket is the Jewish Voice logo and the beloved verse from Psalm 122. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. 100% of your investment as a monthly Shalom partner will directly activate life-saving relief efforts in Israel and around the world. Thank you for joining thousands of other faithful believers advancing God's plan of restoration of the Jewish people and redemption of the world.
Call today or mail your most generous gift to the address on the screen. If you prefer, you can give securely online at jewishvoice.tv or scan the QR code. In this spiritual battle, your gift is making a difference.
Well, I hope you're one that says, I see it now. It's clear to me, and I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to proclaim and I'm going to pray because I know the truth.
Yeah.
Bible says the truth will set us free. Jack, thank you so much for everything you've shared. You have shared truth with us.
I want to ask you to pray
for people. They're people have serious needs. They're concerned about the war, but they're also concerned about the economy and putting food on their table.
Yes.
And there's lots of issues that they're praying through, and we're praying with you. So we're going to join you. Just reach out in faith now. And again, if you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, all you have to do is to ask him to come into your life, and he will. He'll forgive you of your sins, and you'll begin a whole new life because you will become, as the Bible says, a new creation.
Amen. Jack. Heavenly Father, you remind us in Matthew 6, verses 28 through 30. You say, look at how the lilies of the field grow. They don't toil, they don't spin.
Yes, Lord.
Not even Solomon in all of his glory was clothed like one of those.
Yes.
And yet, Lord, if you clothe the grass of the field and the flowers which are alive today and tomorrow thrown into the furnace, how much more so will you not clothe and take care of us? We thank you, Lord God, that you are the God who supplies our needs. And Father, we bless you. And in this prayer, Lord, I'm asking because the greatest need of all is the need for our Messiah, Yeshua.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes,
it's my prayer, Lord God, if there's anyone out there who does not yet know Yeshua as Messiah, Lord, Redeemer, Savior, God, King, and everything, that you would fill that need in their lives and in their hearts today. In the precious and holy name of Yeshua. Amen.
Yes. Amen. Amen. If you'd like more information about our ministry, you can log on to our website, jewishvoice.tv. You can find so many helpful resources on our website, and you can send your prayer requests right on the website. I want you to know that we care about you, and more importantly, God cares about you, and we will pray for your needs by name. As we close our program, I want to remind you now more than ever, we need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, God's plan for Jerusalem, Arabs and Jews alike, of knowing you. May they prosper who love thee.
Amen.
So please keep praying this week. Thanks to Ezra for joining me today. And thank you, Jack. And until next time, this is Jonathan Bernis saying shalom and God bless you.